Hello, hello, and welcome to The Good Shit. The Good Shit is sponsored by you. This episode's featured word is the wet sheet, for when you need some beach shit. This beach towel has the official The Good Shit logo across the middle and comes in yellow, navy, turquoise, purple, pink, cream, or white. Receive this reward and browse others at the More Colors Inside store, linked in this episode's description. Well, hello. I was going to go back into an old theme of being a normal person and having normal interactions. Now, bear in mind, when I say normal, I don't mean good. I just mean some set of situations that you buy into so hard that it is simply reality. Because I feel like I've been yanked out of so many of these constructs that, of course, I'm no longer able to buy that shit because I've just seen it for what it is. And a lot of people who criticize feminism refer to this process as taking the red pill. They call themselves red pillers, with reference to the Matrix, where you have this totally fake reality and you know, Neo gets the choice of the blue pill or the red pill, and the red pill is the real reality, and once you take it, you cannot go back. I feel like that with a lot of, not necessarily the same things that these people normally talk about, but just generally, with gender and with identity and seeing how much and how many things in people's lives are somehow a function of these things, especially the things that they don't even fully realize are related to these things. And it's really unnerving, and I can think as much as I'd like about what things would have been like if I had a normal experience where I might have been able to form a more solid story, and if I didn't have to go through any experiences that shattered those constructs completely, what that might have been like. I imagine it might have been quite limiting in many ways. Perhaps I might have ended up being very happy up to the age of 60 or something, and then something might happen then. Perhaps I would be complaining about these millennials, and that the world is ending, and that the devil has taken over civilization or whatever, and I would just be fully and completely unable to integrate any alternative information into my brain. And even though that information may very well be true, maybe even objectively true, to defend my view that has made me happy over these 60 years of my life. I'm not 60, by the way. this is a thought experiment. I don't want to confuse you. Then I would simply reject all of that. And I guess this is exactly what people do when they get older. They must reject a lot of things because they start contradicting their lives, the lives that they lived. And that's a shitty position to be in, because you don't want to regret your whole life or have to cancel out your whole life. Or I don't know, say for example you made a decision when you were 20 that you were going to get married to someone you hate and have children and inconvenience yourself hugely because you knew, you thought you knew that in 20 years time things were going to be the same, and then you realize that things were, you know, did not turn out to be the same. And if only you didn't, if you only you hadn't done that, or if only you stayed more open-minded, or if only whatever, then things would have been totally different. Anyway, see, I can't even imagine having that mentality. That's how funny this is. I can't even try, I can't even imagine what it would be like to have that mindset. But the point I'm trying to get to is, yes, it might have been easier for me to be normal, to be like, yes, my body is mine and genitals are real and my gender is not a construct and the world should be heterosexual and men are men and women are women and my life is easy. I'm going to get a house and a car and that's it. That's my life. It might have been easier at that point, but it would also probably be quite shit towards the end of that, when suddenly all, you know, all these gays also are allowed to live their lives, who thought, or all of a sudden people can just do what the fuck they please, they don't have to satisfy society in that way, or people are changing gender left, right and center, what's that about, you know, all these pillars of your life choices are suddenly shattered, and they are persuasively shattered. It's not that people are oppressed and in pain, it's their happiness that hurts you, because it is evidence you cannot argue with. It's not about the legal status of gay people. It's about you meet these people and you see these stories and you realize, you know what? You can be happy being gay. You can have children being gay. You can be happy as a single woman. You can be happy as a childless woman. You can be happy as this. You can be happy as that. And you're like, don't you wish you would have just been happy? And I noticed how on the spectrum of liberalism, there are two choices. And this is actually related to a video about babies, which are babies, children brought up genderless, called they instead of he or she. And if you look at gay rights, trans rights, whatever, it's impossible to not notice this pattern of something crazy slowly becoming the new normal, and then something crazier then also becoming the new normal, and then something even crazier, you know. And by crazy we mean what? Women voting. Crazy. It is normal. Gay people not being murdered. Crazy. It is normal. Gay people getting married. Crazy. It is normal. People changing gender. Crazy. It is normal. So this pattern is pretty freaking obvious. And in light of this pattern, it seems to me, and there's also this this observation about political beliefs having this expiration date, where oh, of course, students are going to be liberal, and of course, old people are going to be conservative, and these people have money, and these people don't have money, and there's this thing where, well, once you're old enough, you're going to understand this, and you're going to change your mind, right? So in a sort of oversimplified version of this time frame, it seems like there's two choices here, or a choice of two options. One of them is to be crazy to begin with, to just say, you know what, yeah, I'm a crazy person, no one understands me. And then when you're older, you will have it better because you're just normal. You're just normal. You're crazy is now normal. Or be normal to begin with, blend in, nothing weird about you, you're normal. And then as you get older, your normal is now backwards. What was your normal is now closed-minded and is lame and delusional and hateful and crazy. And thank God you're old enough so that people won't have to put up with you for much longer. That's generally the attitude. Which one would you rather be? Do you want to be crazy and then normal, or do you want to be normal and then crazy? Because these polarities always work that way. You're crazy because you're gay. And then you wait a little while, and then you're crazy because you're a homophobe. You're crazy because you're trans, and then you're crazy because you're transphobic. You're crazy because you're a feminist, and then you're crazy because you're sexist. And these things just, you know, back and forth and back and forth. You can almost see them coming. You can see them coming. You know, let me tell you what I see coming. There's these conversations around gender. Will gender be obsolete? Gender is already obsolete. When you have conversations around equality, the point is that gender shouldn't matter. So in those situations, gender should be obsolete. Now, the hilarious thing about this is that people act as though gender is language and gender is made up, when it isn't entirely. If language disappeared and all these made up things disappeared, you would still be left with people who are different in their bodies, and those things would still be there. You cannot, at the moment, be, and I covered this before, you cannot be a neutral human. The condition of humanity is sexed. You have no choice but to be sexed. Actually, this brings me to the really funny, well, it's not funny, but I was wondering why, you know, in the gay community, understandably, a lot of people are trying to impatiently wait for the moment that science can deliver the option of having children from two females or two males. And the thing that I didn't quite get is why this hasn't happened yet. Because in mice, being able to make pups from two eggs is a well-established technique that is relatively old and has been shown to be very reproducible and successful, with the pups being healthy and able to have children of their own. Of course, in parallel, currently you have research on making eggs or sperm from skin cells, let's say, for example. So in that scenario, any given person should be able to theoretically make other gametes. But normally, I think they would just see it as men just making more sperm and women making eggs. I'm not sure if they're actually actively looking for crossing those things where men would be making sperm and men would be making eggs. The challenge with that is that if you use a female cell, you will not have a source for the Y chromosome. Anyway, this is not the topic. But I was just wondering why hasn't the science come as far as it could have come? And I thought, you know, maybe it is because in mice, they have done this with female cells, female gametes, eggs. So if they did this in humans, you'd have a situation, the radical feminist utopia, where you would have females reproducing amongst themselves with absolutely no requirement, not only for males for reproduction, but just for males for anything, full stop, because you'd simply have girls growing up to then have more children who are also girls, and everyone would be female. And I thought, maybe I underestimate the severity of this type of social challenge or disruption to countries or society. And maybe there is some sort of black tape over this type of research, similar to cloning, where we know we can clone, but why don't we? We know we can do it, why don't we? We know we can probably have same-sex, at least at this point, female parents. Why don't we do it? Why is it not happening? Anyway, that's not the point. The conversation about being, you know, choosing whether you want to be crazy now or later, is coming from this babies topic of children being brought up genderless. Now, from what I've seen, they're not so much brought up genderless as they are left to their own devices to self-identify with their gender without the parent telling them what they are. This almost reminds me of my early upbringing, where at school we were told what religion we were as a matter of fact. We were told our nationality as a matter of fact. We were told our religion as a matter of fact. And we were told our gender as a matter of fact. Now, you might think, well, why would nationality not be a matter of fact? It is a matter of fact. Why would gender not be a matter of fact? It is a matter of fact, you know, ignoring trans people, obviously. In that close-minded community, you might say, well, that surely is also a matter of fact. And then how is religion a matter of fact? Is this something that you're just given because people give it to you? It doesn't, you know, it comes from outside in. It doesn't come from inside out. It's not your opinion. Your religion is not about you. It's about everyone as a whole. So for the sake of everyone as a whole, you are, of course, part of it. You're part of the whole. And if the whole is Christian, then, of course, as a matter of fact, you are Christian, right? That is the rationale behind it. Of course, on a personal level, to be told that this is your religion as a matter of fact doesn't make any sense if you think religion is about your mind, your beliefs, your experience, your thinking, your choice. Same goes for gender. It's simply a matter of perspective. If gender is about what people expect of you based on your body, then they can call you whatever the fuck they want to call you. If gender is about you telling people how you feel and who you are, then yeah, you have to, it comes from you. But, you know, there's an interplay there. What comes from you, especially as a child, what comes from you must be communicated in the language that they are giving to you. So there's only so much evasion that can be done around language. I don't want to influence you. It's up to you. But then if you don't even know how to talk, I have to teach you. And that may or may not be inherently biased in itself. So I don't know how progressive children can be without anyone existing around them to inform the language itself that they must use, that they can use. But of course, as this parenting book said that I briefly looked in, it is true that children do what you do and not what you say. So in this climate, let's say at this point in time, this concept of not revealing your young child's gender to people in the hope that it will prevent them from being judged or from certain expectations being put on them, this person would be seen by most people right now as totally crazy, unreasonable, insane, as crazy. This person's crazy. Could it be that in the next 20 years, people will realize that they don't care about gender, that gendering is harmful, that whatever? And could it become a norm? I don't think it's far-fetched. I can see that happening. And then the person old-fashionedly calling their child he, son, daughter, she, maybe they would be seen as crazy, oppressive child molesters, right? As Richard Dawkins said, controversially, that planting religion on your children is akin to child abuse or child molestation or whatever he said. So you can see how this, oh, this is normal, can quite quickly become, oh no, you're close-minded, you're a crazy person. You know, because people's different comfort zones to them seem normal and comfortable. And those comfort zones to others can seem threatening, violent, crazy, insane. And it is not easy transitioning between these social level comfort zones of how do we talk? Do we use gendered words? Do we use gendered pronouns? Is it even okay to do that at all? And something that would have seemed totally normal at one point suddenly becomes absolutely insane, and no one can understand where it's coming from and how anyone could do such a thing. It is so tedious, honestly. It is just tedious. I think the more you see how these things shift and move, the more you kind of lose hope that people have any clue as to what sanity even is, because everyone is so convinced, and their convictions are so unshakable. And then you zoom out and you see how these things shift, sometimes quite quickly. And you think, well, your amazing, super strong conviction is bullshit. And if you were born 10 years earlier, you'd be a different person. And if you were born 10 years later, you'd be a different person. And what do you think you know anyway? You know, what? Why are you so persuaded by this stuff? It takes other generations to have different experiences to turn around and say, I can't believe you did that. And even then, it's not valid. because only their experience is valid for them. They cannot know your experience. It works the other way around. Let's say trans people today have a specific experience that cis people wouldn't understand and know about and wouldn't have experienced themselves. But equally, people of older generations had their own experiences that we do not understand today, that we cannot presume to understand nor feel entitled to judge. It seems easy to look back and say, what a bunch of idiots, sexist, homophobic freaks, awful people. But we don't really know the world that we are talking about. And it is a bit ridiculous to say that those people were just stupid or awful or evil. Because that is the same thing as saying that everyone alive today is stupid and awful and evil for even having gender, for even reproducing, for even, I don't know, watching Coronation Street, you know? So how easy is it to look back and say, well, those people were clearly delusional wankers, if it is so difficult to equally say that at present about most people today? Because at present, you understand the circumstances clearly, and you know why it is difficult to do certain things. It is almost impossible to push certain boundaries too far. It is too much. It is too hard. It is too soon. And it's difficult, it's impossible to understand that that was exactly the situation in the past in terms of women voting, in terms of racism, in terms of homophobia. Because seeing as we are in a different world now where those things are different, yeah, why would you do things the way people did things then? Well, for the exact same reason. For the exact same reason. Even someone that is somewhat, that has internalized homophobia towards themselves at present, can see that gay marriage is legal and has been legal for a while. And objectively feel that they shouldn't be homophobic in any way, shape or form. It is relatively easy for them to just get over it and feel comfortable in themselves and hope to have a happy life ahead of them. How could the same gay person with internalized homophobia 50 years ago, when there were absolutely no signs of being gay, being accepted, never mind a law to protect you or a law where you can get married just like anyone else, imagine that. How could the same person in that situation even begin to come out of their internalized homophobia first, before even considering anything else, before even having the absolute courage and unimaginable bravery required to even tell anyone about it? You know, that type of experience that is the reality of a lived life, actually living that life. How could that be fully understood by anyone who hasn't lived it? Okie dokie. Thank you for listening. Now, go back to the Good Sheet info page and write a review, because I look forward to reading it.